How many people travelled here today on a motor vehicle? Right, most years. For those that drove themselves, how did you know that the car would start? For those that got picked up, how did you know the person who was going to pick you up would actually turn up to pick you up? The answer to these questions is that you didn't. We cannot know for sure that the car would start each morning. Not even Jono and I know. We cannot be sure that the person who is picking us up in the morning would actually remember to come. They may be delayed, or the alarm might not have gone off. These real simple things are examples of faith. We have faith in the morning that the car will start. We have faith that someone will remember to pick us up for church this morning. Faith is so often associated with religious groups and organisations. But little do people realise that it is part of every person's everyday life. In fact, I believe you need more faith to be living in this world without our Lord and Saviour. They are teaching in our schools that everything just happened and we came from a bunch of nothing. They do their best to discredit God and to remove him from the picture. I firmly believe that anyone who believes in the evolutionary theory has an extreme amount of faith in scientists because they haven't got a lot else to have faith in. The Bible is a great source of examples of faith. Last weekend we heard from Bernie Dalglish at our Friends and Family. It is always most worrying for the speaker following when the previous week's speaker uses the same passage of Scripture as you were going to use in your talk. So forgive me for repeating last week's Scripture, but I don't think you could do a talk on faith without referring to Hebrews 11. So what is faith? In Hebrews 11, it starts with a description of what faith is. Verses 1, 2, and 3 define faith and explain it far better than any worldly dictionary I read in preparation for this morning. Starting at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. The Oxford Dictionary states that faith, as a word, is a noun, which means trust, religious belief, creed, loyalty, and trustworthiness. Faith is believing in something that we can't see or have not observed. Trust is a major part of faith. For you to have faith in something, you have to trust what you have put your faith in. Going back to my previous example, you wouldn't trust someone to pick you up who wasn't good at timekeeping or reliable, because you wouldn't have faith in that person to actually get you to your destination on time. As believers, we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. None of us here are old enough to have seen Jesus when he was on earth. We weren't one of his followers on earth. So how do we know that we can trust and have faith in someone who was on earth over 2,000 years ago? The second part of verse 1 answers this question, the evidence. We are blessed to have Bibles which give us evidence of Christ's character attributes. What he did while he was on earth, how he handled situations that he faced, along with eyewitness accounts from others that were there at the same time. And for those that believe the Bible to just be another religious book, other historic records from the time that the Bible refers to back up what is written in its pages. Verse 3 states that by faith we believe that God created the world out of nothing. Again, none of us here were around when the earth and everything in it was created. So how do we know that it was created? Students in our schools are taught the world came into being by a freak explosion that started a chain reaction which over billions of years developed what we have today, not to mention ourselves. If this is what we are telling our children, no wonder there is a problem with low self-esteem and self-worth in our society today. They are being taught that we came from nothing and are going to nothing. So what's the point? Again, the evidence says otherwise. From time to time, we have Paul Gay speak here. He also does a weekly article on the paper, explaining the wonderful intricacies of different plants and animals and how everything works together to support the plant and animal to survive. This cannot just happen by chance. I have said it before, and I still believe that it takes a lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does in creation. If you don't agree with me, may I suggest that you spend more time enjoying the evidence of creation outdoors. The rest of Hebrews 11 gives examples of people throughout the Bible who have been faithful. The first one that stands out for me is in verse 7 of chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's put ourselves in Noah's shoes for a moment. God has just told you there is going to be a flood on the earth. With this thing called rain, what's more is he tells you to build this big wooden thing like a boat on dry land, miles from the nearest water. Sounds pretty outrageous, really, but Noah had faith and trust in his God. He believed that God was going to send rain, bearing in mind that most people believe Noah had never ever seen rain. He was asked to build an ark out of gopher wood. Now, this wasn't just any little boat. It was approximately 137 metres long, 22 metres wide, 13 metres high. It's about half as long as the Titanic, if you're interested. Even by today's standards, that is huge. Noah wasn't a qualified boat builder, but he had great faith in God. Genesis chapter 7, verses 22 and 23 says, all whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive and those with him in the ark. Noah and those that were with him in the ark were the only ones left alive. So effectively, you could say that we are here today because of the great faith and trust Noah had in his God. Here is a challenge. If God was to ask you today to build an ark or something similar and that you had never seen or heard of before, what would be your answer? Further on in Hebrews 11, we hear about Abraham. Firstly, in verse 8, By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. A lot of you know that Dad and I are very alike. Well, here is another thing that is similar about the two of us. We both like to know exactly where we're going, how long it is going to take, exactly what route we're going to take, and where we're going to stop for lunch. I don't think either of us would be very happy about getting told you're going on a journey, but you're not getting told where you're going. This is what Abraham was told. But there is more to it than that. We read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, that now the Lord had said unto Abram, take thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. Abraham wasn't just going on a trip away on holiday. He was told to uplift his family and worldly possessions, to leave behind the land of his fathers, and go to a place that he was going to be shown. It would take a huge amount of faith and trust to do this. And Abraham had the goods. He did exactly as God had told him, without questioning. If God was to ask you today to go somewhere he was going to reveal to you, would you have faith and trust in your Lord and go? This isn't the only mention that Abraham gets. Further on in Hebrews 11, verse 17, we see him mentioned again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him as a figure. God had promised Abraham in Genesis, when they first entered the land of Canaan, that his offspring would inhabit the land that was before him. There was one problem, though. His wife Sarah was barren, so he had no offspring to start with. God has everything under control, though, and Sarah bore Abraham a son called Isaac. Now, Abraham was asked by God to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Now, I don't know about you, but I would say Abraham had good grounds to ask some questions here. Didn't God say that my son Isaac, my offspring, would inhabit the land of Canaan? Well, how is that possible if I am to sacrifice him as a burnt offering? But Abraham had great faith and trust in his God, and he went ahead and would have sacrificed his son had God not stopped him. He believed that God would raise him from the dead and still fulfill his promises. If we were challenged in this way, how would our faith hold out? Paul, the writer of Hebrews, carries on to say in Hebrews 11, verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turns to flight the armies of the aliens. There are so many great examples of faithful people in the Bible. And as Paul says in these verses, you cannot mention them all. The thing is that they were there to be examples to us of what we can do when we have faith and trust in our God and Saviour. So where does that leave us? We are here on this earth, and as Christians, we are to be salt and light in the world. One thing that shines through in the examples I mentioned is that none of the godly men did what they did in their own strength. They had extreme faith and trust in God. They knew that if God asked them to do these things, then he would empower them to do them. Noah wasn't a boat builder, but he built the ark. Abraham left his homeland and extended family, completely trusting God to lead him to where he was headed. Abraham was also prepared to offer his son, having faith and trust in God to fulfill his promises. Do we try to do everything in our own strength and wonder why it doesn't work? Do we entrust our everyday activities and jobs to him? Do we have faith that we will have food for our families and a roof over their heads? Or do we wear ourselves out worrying and stressing about things? Unfortunately, if I was honest with myself, I would have to say the latter part of that statement applies to me more than the first part. I struggle to let go of things that I see are my responsibility, when really I should be relying on God for them. Luke 12, verses 28 to 31 has this to say. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what ye have need of these things. Those are very sobering verses. We are very privileged here in New Zealand. We have no real shortage of food. We don't have very many wars on our shores. We don't get a lot of discrimination for being Christian. We have it pretty cruisy, really. Maybe that is our problem. When you are witnessing to people, it is far easier to reach those that recognise that they have a need. Those that are well off financially, are of good health, and have nice houses, are generally quite content, and don't see the need to be saved, and have faith in our Lord. A lot of them are able to rely on themselves for their needs, but that can change. God is ultimately in control, and we can lose everything that we have accumulated on this earth faster than we accumulated it. But one thing that we cannot lose is our faith in Christ Jesus. No one can take away your faith in Christ. So how do we measure up? We have looked at some awesome examples of what God can do with those that are faithful to him. But are we willing to surrender our lives completely over to him in faith and trust? If you were put in Noah's shoes, would the ark have been built? If you were put in Abraham's shoes, would you have ever seen the promised land or understood fully that God will provide? Do we sweat the small stuff or just the big stuff Or do we panic and worry about everything? God has shown us through his word that he is faithful and trustworthy. So what is holding us back? Why are we not surrendering to God all that he has given us? When our time on earth is over, will we be able to say as Paul did in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Do we measure up?